This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Rob Brinton here as well. I imagine he is very happy to be here as well. The Royals are off today, so that sadly means we will have no Royals random lineup today. We will not be playing how many people will be at Kauffman Stadium because we know exactly how many people will be at Kauffman Stadium today. Rob, I'm very sad that the Royals have an off day. We are happy to announce that someone won yesterday. So a couple of days ago, no one won our game. Yesterday, we did have a winner. Now, Rob, you were not too optimistic about the attendance, but you were holding out a little bit of hope because it was college night. So you were thinking, hey, MU's out, KU's out, K-State is out. Maybe we're going to get a couple of college kids to pull up. That is not what happened yesterday. What was the attendance for yesterday's Royals game?
Yesterday's attendance was a far cry from what I imagined. They got 11,898 to the yard on a Wednesday night.
Certainly not what we had expected. We will play how many people be at Kauffman Stadium again tomorrow when the Royals are back in action. Let's start today's show a little bit differently. You know, the Chiefs are at football practice right now. We still have over 100 days until the Chiefs play a game. The Royals are, well, they're the Royals. It's the off season for college sports. So it's a little bit of a slow period. I mean, I'm sure something's going to happen, but it's a little bit of a slow period. So when the content gods give us a story like this, I am inclined to take it. This man shot another man over a Hot Pocket. Listen to this story.
In Louisville, a man is accused of shooting his roommate over a Hot Pocket. Police say 64-year-old Clifton Williams was arrested on Sunday. Investigators say he allegedly shot his roommate during a fight after the roommate allegedly ate the last Hot Pocket in their home. Investigators say the roommate was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries.
Now, I am not here to advocate violence in any way. You guys know my stance on guns. I don't fool with them. If you're a gun guy, that's perfectly fine. It's your constitution right to be a gun guy. I don't like them around me. I don't like being near guns. So I in no way support the shooting of this man for eating his Hot Pocket. But I do understand the anger and frustration of, you know, you got some leftovers in the fridge. Let's say you had a little Gates the day before, and you still got a couple of ribs, a little bit of meat, and you still got the bread the way that you like. And you've been thinking about that all day when you were at work. Mouth been watering for that classic barbecue taste. You driving home on 435 thinking about that barbecue. You know you got it in the fridge. You can't wait. You're going to sit down, watch you a little Royals baseball, maybe catch up on a television show or a movie, maybe watch the NBA playoffs, and you're going to finish off them leftovers that you got in the fridge. You then walk over to the refrigerator. You're doing a little bit of a happy dance. You know how it is when you think you're about to eat a good meal. You open up the refrigerator. huh, that's funny. I know there was a bag here. You start kind of moving stuff around. You don't see it. You're playing Where's Waldo with the refrigerator. It's clearly not in there. You start asking questions around the house because you know that you didn't eat this. Hey, babe, I had some leftovers in the fridge. What happened?
Oh, I took it for lunch. I'm sorry I didn't tell you.
You get mad, you get hot, you get angry. We have all been there before. Again, I am not justifying the shooting of this man. There are certainly better ways to resolve conflicts than with violence. I'm simply saying, Rob, that I understand the frustration of you being hungry. You're starving. You know that you got something left in the freezer. You know you got something left in the refrigerator that's waiting on you. You got that cold Gatorade, and you know you only have one left. You know you got enough for one bowl of ice cream left. You go in the freezer looking for the ice cream, and now there's no ice cream, and somebody else tells you that they had your final bowl of ice cream. That is one of the most disrespectful slash heartbreaking things that can happen to a person. I understand the anger. I understand the frustration. It's also up there, Rob, with this is something that really annoys me. Now, maybe I'm the only person that gets really annoyed by this, but this is very high on my list when it comes to food as well. And Rob, I'm sure this has happened to you. You're really hungry. You call Caroline. Brr, brr. Hey, Caroline, I'm about to go get something to eat. Would you like something to eat?
No, I'm not hungry.
You sure? Like, I want to get you something to eat. I want to make sure you eat, too.
No, I had lunch earlier.
Are you sure? You then double back. You double back to make sure that she's good.
No, I'm okay.
You get what you want. You get a 12-piece wing. You got enough wings for your appetite. She's going to eat at least four of them. Now you're a little bit hungry, and you know this all could have been avoided because you would have got her own 6-piece, and then maybe you'd have had two of hers and all of your wings. That is the only thing that rivals this story about the Hot Pocket. You called ahead. You did everything you were supposed to be. You called to make sure that she got her food. And now she did get her food. It was some of yours. It didn't have to play that way. That's the only thing that comes close to rivaling somebody eating your last Hot Pocket or getting that last cold Gatorade out the fridge.
I think there are two different things at play here, though, because I think the roommate code of ethics that you might not sign, you might not physically sign a piece of paper, but if you are roommates with someone, there is a code of ethics. And that code of ethics is different when you live with your significant other. I know this. When I come home, if she says, I'm not hungry, I don't want any food, I have to build in into my food order, there's a chance a little bit of my food's gone.
Why can't she just communicate that from the very beginning that she could possibly be hungry? Why could that not happen from the very, very beginning?
That's a great question. It's not one I know the answer to, but I know the game. I play the cards I'm dealt. I know some of my food is gone. I think when it's a roommate, it's a totally different ball game. I shouldn't have to build in. I shouldn't have to have that mental mindset I have for my significant other. If we lived together and I was like, man, I got some leftover Gatorades in the fridge. After the show, I'm going to get it. It's going to be so good. And I come home and it's gone. You are a violator of the rules. You are the problem. You deserve to be scalded. You deserve to be yelled at. You owe me a meal. A significant other, there's a different set of rules. Again, I don't condone shooting the man. Also, it's a Hot Pocket, so come on now. It's just, who cares? It's not even good food. It's barely human food at all.
It doesn't matter if you're hungry, though. That's the thing. I'm not, at that point, it's like Big Worm. It's about the principles. There's principalities in this. You ate my final Hot Pocket. I was wondering when I heard this story, is there even a flavor of the Hot Pocket that would let you get to this level of anger? Because I don't know if I ever told you the story or not, but in high school, whenever I would bring my own lunch, you know what I had most of the time? My folks would get, you could go to like Sam's Club or Costco and you could get the big box of Hot Pockets. It was easy for me to just grab one from the freezer and throw it in my lunch with a bag of chips and something to drink. I ate a lot of Hot Pockets when I was in high school, and that was my lunch. So I never want to have another Hot Pocket again. There's no flavor of the Hot Pocket that will warrant violence. Not a single flavor of the Hot Pocket.
I mean, Hot Pockets aren't even good. Can we be honest about Hot Pockets for like 2 seconds? They are not a tasty snack. They burn your mouth and they're flavorless. They are not worth the trip. In college, I had my fair share of the microwavable French bread pizzas, which are also not good, but college is a different ball game. But again, I don't condone violence, especially over a Hot Pocket. But I get being frustrated, being angry, cranking to a 10 with anger because someone ate your food. Not all food is communal food. If you and your roommate split a pizza and there's 2 slices left, you know what? That's life. You guys split it. If you guys go in halvesies on a 12-pack, hey, and he drinks 7 and you drink 5, that's life to me. If that's your food, he broke the rules. There's a clear violation.
The food is definitely a different thing than the beverage. I 100% agree with you. If you're counting down the drinks of the 12-pack, then you have gone completely too far. Rob, you know my belief that everybody still has a favorite struggle meal. Now, unless you reach like a Patrick Mahomes level of wealth, you have a favorite struggle meal. You know, I will eat ramen noodles to this day. If it's 11:30, 12 o'clock, and I don't want something very heavy, you know what I'm about to do? I'm about to reach up in that cabinet right now and get me the chicken flavor ramen noodles. I still eat them to this day. I don't ever want to be at a point where I'm too good to go in the cabinet and go get me a couple of ramen noodles. I am a big believer that every single person has their favorite struggle meal. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to talking about sports. Jimmy Garoppolo is still hurt and could miss training camp. Who's the worst quarterback in the AFC West? We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by the D. Pasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Your home for Chiefs football in Kansas City is 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
There was some news that came out today that Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to be available for training camp. So as you guys know, Jimmy Garoppolo is a member of the San Francisco 49ers. He got hurt, which Jimmy Garoppolo usually does. He was unable to finish the season for San Francisco. That's how we know who Brock Purdy is. He then got let go by San Francisco. He got picked up by the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, I wouldn't feel too optimistic if my quarterback, who was injured in the middle of last season, is going to be unable to practice and work with the guys. We're talking about a new team, new system. I know you've worked with Josh McDaniels before, but there's just some timing that is going to be missed if you were Jimmy Garoppolo. Let me ask you this, Rob. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the AFC West. I feel very confident in saying that. I feel very confident that we know who the second best quarterback is in the division in Justin Herbert, one of the top young quarterbacks in the league. Who would you rather have right now if you were starting a team? If you were the, let's say, Houston Texans, which quarterback would you rather have for this upcoming season? Would you rather have Russell Wilson or Jimmy Garoppolo as your starting quarterback? We know who the two best is. Who's the worst starting quarterback in the AFC West?
Is contract a part of this conversation?
No, just straight on the field play. Who would you want to be your quarterback? Because I'm with you. Russell Wilson is probably one of the worst trades that we've seen in worst contracts. That's going to sway the argument onto his side 99.9 times out of 100. I'm just talking about in the huddle, running your offense, the commander of your team. Who do you want?
I would take Jimmy G over Russell Wilson. The problem with Jimmy G is not his actual play. It's mediocre. It's not great, but It's not devastating. It's not terrible. It is the epitome of you're the 19th best quarterback in the NFL. The problem with Jimmy G is he's so rarely on the field when he's the 19th best quarterback in the NFL. That is the hangup with Jimmy. I think Russell Wilson was healthy and fine to go most of last season. I know he suffered a concussion at one point, but most of the season he was healthy and fine to go, and he was terrible. Just awful. So if you're asking me to rank the quarterbacks in the AFC West, Mahomes and Herbert 1-2, no doubt. I would say Jimmy's third because the best ability is availability. But Russell is just, even when available, terrible. So Jimmy over Russ by the slightest of margins. If you add the contract in, it is a boat race. Russell Wilson might be the worst quarterback in the league if we play that game.
This is the argument I would make for Jimmy G. I at least know what Jimmy Garoppolo is. Now, I think the ceiling is relatively low, but I think at this point, if Jimmy Garoppolo is your team's starting quarterback, you got a really good idea of what he is. He's not going to throw for 4,000 yards this season. He has never thrown for 30 touchdowns in a year. You know what his athleticism is. You know what his accuracy is. You have a good enough understanding of what Jimmy Garoppolo is. I have no clue what to make of Russell Wilson going into the season. 2 years ago, he got the injury. That was the first time that he's really suffered an injury in the National Football League. Last year, he was one of the five worst starting quarterbacks in the National Football League last season. I'm talking about Zach Wilson bad, Matt. He was one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL last season. It is impossible to win with the quarterback play that the Denver Broncos got last year. But you're bringing in a Hall of Fame coach who all I've seen him do is be a quarterback maximizer and get the most out of the ability in Sean Payton. If Sean Payton can't fix Russell Wilson, then Russell Wilson is just broken. Like, I already think he's broken. I suspect that he's broken. But you were bringing in Sean Payton for that last-ditch effort to try to save it and see if anything in this is salvageable. Because last year, at times, it didn't look salvageable at all. And if you bring in Sean Payton this year and it goes as poorly this season as it went last year, you got to make a serious decision about the Broncos. And at this point, there is a sunk cost at play here. We've already spent this money. We've already given up these draft picks. That's gone. We can't get it back. Can we continue to have bottom five quarterback play? We haven't gone through this exercise fully. We don't have to do it today, but at some point, we're going to have the conversation about a make or break year for certain individuals in the National Football League. Man, Russell Wilson has to be at the absolute top of the list. He was unplayable last year. If you hadn't spent the amount of money or the draft picks, Russell Wilson would have been benched in week 7 of the NFL season. I don't know if you can have that guy. At some point, it's like Hunter Dozier. Now, the money is significantly less. We can't continue to trot this guy out here who's hitting 215 every single day. We can't look at our fans and say we're doing everything possible if we continue to start this person. If Russell Wilson is as bad this year as he was last year, I don't think he's going to be the starting quarterback in 2024.
I mean, can they afford to get out from under him? Because I agree with you conceptually. The play is terrible. And if Sean Payton can't fix him, I assume Sean Payton is not going to, you know, sit around in Denver and take it in the teeth for the 5 years he's there getting his $100 million. I don't think that's Sean Payton's lot in life. If you want to be paid heavily to sit around, go back to Fox. But can they really afford to get out from the Russell Wilson game? The Russell Wilson contract, I know Deshaun Watson is the gold standard when it comes to the most prohibitive quarterback contract in the National Football League. It might be one of the worst contracts ever signed by an ownership group. You could argue that the reason Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and all these groups are asking for guaranteed money is because of what happened to Deshaun Watson. But Russell Wilson is a diet Deshaun Watson when it comes to his contract. I want that on the record. His contract, not the other stuff. But he has a very prohibitive deal, and Let's Ride can't get under out from under him for a long time, if I'm not mistaken.
Text line 913-586-7610. Wilson wasn't that bad the last 5 weeks. That's the thing about Russell Wilson from last year that is just like very, very telling. Russell Wilson in his last 5 weeks threw 8 touchdown passes and had 6 interceptions and completed less than 65% of his passes. He was not good the final 5 weeks. He just wasn't nearly as bad as he was at the beginning of the season. Like, that's how low the bar is for Russell Wilson. Ah, he wasn't that bad. He threw 8 touchdown passes in his final 5 games and 6 picks. I think the biggest problem with Russell Wilson is the lack of mobility now. And you have basically turned Russell Wilson into a pocket passer. And in order to get the most out of his ability at his size, you're going to have to be able to manipulate the pocket and kind of move him around and change some of the throwing lanes. If your plan is to throw Russell Wilson as a traditional drop back pocket passer and have him throw it 35, 40 times, I just don't think that's a long term recipe for success. That's not really was what he was in Seattle. And as his game has changed, as his athleticism has changed, I think that's where we've seen Russell Wilson have the absolute biggest struggle. We're asking the question, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to miss training camp with the Raiders. We'll see if he starts the season with them. We're asking the question, who's the worst starting quarterback in the AFC West? Mahomes is 1, Herbert is 2. I'd put Jimmy Garoppolo for the simple reason of I at least know what Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be. If Jimmy Garoppolo plays 15 games this year with Las Vegas, he'll throw for like 3,600 yards. He'll throw for 23 touchdown passes and probably have like 9 interceptions. I think you know exactly what he is. He is not going to beat you. He's also probably not going to get you beat. But he's a fine bridge quarterback until the Raiders finally get off the sideline and then draft their own quarterback. But at this point, we know exactly what Jimmy Garoppolo is. He's just incredibly average.
Let me ask you a question about Jimmy Garoppolo, because the Raiders are in the news for some non-Jimmy G reasons too. It's official. Tom Brady's going to be part of the ownership group. Now it's hands off. He can do his Fox job, the whole deal. You think he ever comes down and plays a game for the Raiders? We've seen Brady unretire once. We've seen Jordan unretire twice. And it's not outside their own possibility. All-time greats, they get a little fidgety. They get a little, you know, I miss it. They get a little, I want back. Tom Brady's part of the ownership group of the Raiders. Now, he would have to then give up the ownership to come out of the box and back onto the field. But if he gave up the ownership thing and unretired, he's a free agent. Do you think there's ever a chance that one day in Vegas we see Tom Brady starting quarterback? Because during his first free agency run, where he eventually ended in Tampa, remember, there was a flirtation, there was an interest, there was a little juice to him going to Oakland, and that was when it was Oakland, so a little different. But do you think this Tom Brady to the ownership box makes you think there's a chance, a slight possibility, that maybe Tom Brady one day takes the field on the Roomba?
All of Tom's information would lead me to believe that he's done playing football. Tom isn't really giving us "I'm still interested in playing football" vibes. We know Tom sat down at that rookie composium a couple of weeks ago and was talking to the quarterbacks who were coming into the league. He's getting into his ownership bag. I think Tom's mentally checked out of playing football. I think Tom's going to do this for a year, kind of decompress, just go be Tom Brady. And I'm still on the fence about if he takes that Fox job. I think he'll be around in the National Football League. I think Brady's certainly going to be visible. No, I don't think Tom Brady's going to play football anymore. I think Tom Brady's waiting for Canton, Ohio, and just going to live his life. That's where I think we are. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk about Aaron Rodgers, who met with the media today. And you know what? Aaron Rodgers on the Jets is actually turning out to be kind of likable. We'll talk about Aaron Rodgers here coming up in a bit. But, Rob, I need a little bit of music because I want to ask you a question. So there was a tweet that was sent by a Missouri fan account. And the tweet was, if you could go back, who's the one athlete from Missouri that you wish had committed to be a Tiger? And to me, the answer is very obvious. The answer is Tyler Hansbrough, one of the greatest college basketball players that we have ever seen, played 90 minutes from campus. He was going to go to Missouri until all of that stuff happened with Ricky Clemens, and we don't got to get into it. It's only going to make me mad. He told Quinn Snyder, I'm coming to Missouri. Missouri had all the off-the-court stuff. Roy Williams swooped in and stole him right under Mizzou, and he goes to North Carolina and has maybe the best college basketball career in the last, since Christian Laettner, he might have had it. The answer to me is very obvious, Tyler Hansbrough. This isn't to put down Missouri. I don't want to do that. I want to ask you the question, Rob. Does Kansas have their what-if recruiting story? Or are you guys recruiting at such a high level you don't even have it? Because you know with Mizzou, I can give you 20 names of athletes that should have been at Mizzou. Otto Porter Jr. should have been there. Devin Booker's dad, his jersey is retired at Mizzou Arena. Ezekiel Elliott, Caleb Love. We can go up and down the list of people from the area that should have just committed. Bradley Beal, David Lee, Jason Tatum. I mean, I can give you 25 people who should have went to the University of Missouri, but they didn't, and it burns my soul. Who is that person for Kansas basketball? I'm not going to ask you Kansas football because you're going to tell me about the 6 days Jamar Chase was committed there. He wasn't even committed for a full week to Kansas. Who's the Kansas basketball recruit that you think got away?
I don't know that Kansas has one, and I know that's bad. There are recruits that Kansas fans look back and go, man, it would have been cool to have him, like Julius Randle. And obviously there's that photo of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown taking late night in. There are high-level recruits who did not pick Kansas. That exists. I'm not numb to that. But the thing with Kansas is it's not like, oh, we didn't get that guy and he became a star and we stunk, or we really didn't hit with so-and-so. Oh, man, player X didn't work out. I mean, the guys you can think of they didn't hit on, it doesn't matter because they got talent in other places. I know a lot of KU fans are like, how do you miss on Buddy Hield? He's from Wichita. He's this da-da-da-da. They didn't get Buddy Hield because they recruited Wayne Selden. And yeah, was Buddy Hield better in college than Wayne Selden? Of course. But was Wayne Selden some scrub? No. I don't think Kansas has that player, has that story. There are guys you can look up videos and pictures where they went to Kansas and didn't commit. I mean, maybe it'll end up being David Castillo, the kid who's going to K-State next year. Maybe that'll eventually be the name, but there isn't one that burns, that creates that passion, that sadness, that hurt the way Tatum or Porter or Beal do for Missouri fans. Also, it's different because for the entirety of the University of Missouri, they cannot recruit St. Louis. KU can recruit its own state. It just doesn't pump out the same level of talent that St. Louis does.
Text line 913-586-7610. Does Kansas have the recruit that got away? I would have thought that you would have said Zion Williamson is the one.
Zion Williamson didn't get away. He got paid a bigger bag. That's what happened with Zion. He didn't go to Duke for the brotherhood.
This happened?
Yeah. Yeah. On the call with the FBI, he was talking to Curtis Townsend, and Curtis Townsend said, this is our number, and then he went to a different school. You think it was because he just loves campus? He and Coach K gelled? He really wanted to be a pre-med student at Duke? Or do you think he got more money?
Yeah, he saw the Olympic gold medals from Coach K and wanted to go play with somebody who could better get him ready for the NBA. I think he made the right decision. But I'm sure he went there because they have a great science department. It is kind of wild that we have Curtis Townsend on the phone talking to the Adidas person saying, we are willing to do whatever it takes to get Zion Williamson, and just completely went away. The feds have the audio of him on the phone begging the Adidas guy, please, we will do whatever it takes. And he just goes to a Nike school. Like, college basketball is so nasty. What a cesspool. What an absolute cesspool college basketball is. Coming up on the other side, you know what? Aaron Rodgers might not be that bad. Certainly the Jets version. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by the Deepa Squally Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs and the home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio. The home of the Royals is 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Been that bad since he's gone to the Jets. I don't know what it is. Honeymoon phase, the off season. I haven't minded him. He's been sitting courtside at the Knicks when they were still in the postseason, but my Heat got them out. He went to a hockey game. He's smiling. He got a little glow. He shaved. He used to have that 5 o'clock shadow. He shaved now. He clean cut. He's doing interviews. Aaron looks like he's in good spirits, man. That darkness retreat really did Aaron some good, man. I'm happy for Aaron. He looked like he got a new girlfriend in his life. Is he still dating Blue of Earth? Are they still a thing? Are they still together? But he seems like he's in a different headspace now that he got away from that toxic ex, the Green Bay Packers. So he went on with my guy Adam Schein on Mad Dog Sports Radio, and he talked about how special it would be to win a title in New York City.
Mets fans, many Mets fans are Jets fans. Obviously, the Jets, you know, used to be in Long Island, and a ton of fans from that area. And you see just the reaction from the Mets fans was so incredible during that time. And many people don't know the entire story, but they were down 3-2 and came back in that last game and were able to pull it off, down 2 runs in extra innings in the 10th there on the Buckner error, which actually put them ahead to win the game 6-5, and then came back in the 7th and won to win the World Series. But just the reaction from the fans was so classic. And just you realize how special it would be to win a championship anywhere, obviously, but I think especially here in New York with a team that hasn't been in the playoffs in 12 years and obviously hasn't been back to the Super Bowl since Broadway Joe.
So Aaron Rodgers is doing a media tour. That audio is courtesy of Mad Dog Sports Radio. My guy Adam Schein got a chance to interview Aaron Rodgers. So you know how in Kansas City, how we just go crazy when the person that gets drafted by the team tells us how much they love barbecue and how much they plan on going one of the local places. So Aaron Rodgers said that he watched the Mets 30 for 30 and that he wanted to get a better understanding and appreciation of the city to know the energy of it. You know what? Aaron's doing his best to try to make things work. He then said that he loved the show Jersey Shore, which absolutely not. That's an era of MTV I just wasn't a part of. I mean, I was around, but I did not watch Jersey Shore. That's not the show for me. I'm a little surprised Aaron Rodgers was watching Jersey Shore. So over the course of doing this interview, he then goes on and says that he never got into the show Sopranos and the needle dropped for me. What? You didn't like Sopranos? Rob, I feel like there's maybe 5 to 8 shows that people under 40, like Aaron Rodgers, and I know we talk about Aaron Rodgers being old. He is still under the age of 40. I feel like there's 5 to 8 shows that you should have seen. He's in an episode of Game of Thrones. I think Game of Thrones is on this list. That's a show that at this point, if you're a TV guy, which we know Aaron Rodgers is, some of you aren't TV people. If you're a TV person, you've seen Game of Thrones at some point. I would say Breaking Bad is on this list. At this point, if you consider yourself someone that enjoys watching TV, if you don't know who Walter White is, if you don't know Jesse Pinkman, if you don't know about Skyler, if you don't know what color Skyler's sister used to wear all the time, you're not really a TV person. Don't talk television shows with me. The Wire, I would say, is on this list, Rob. And The Sopranos. I mean, those are the 4 to me. If you're under 40, I think you've watched these shows. If you tell me that you're really into TV shows, these are the shows that I think you watch. Is there something that we need to add to this list potentially for everybody who's around our age or maybe a little bit older than us the way that Aaron Rodgers is? You've seen this show. Is Lost on that show or is that just a generation before us?
We're doing strictly dramas, right? Like, you know, things like The Office, Parks and Rec, 30 Rock, Friends.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't consider them in that same vein. I would consider them like a series. You could just randomly pop in and just watch episodes of The Office. I'm talking about start to finish, you finish the show.
What do we do with Better Call Saul? Because Better Call Saul is a spinoff of Breaking Bad. It exists in the Breaking Bad universe. It's part of the Breaking Bad cinematic universe. It is sensational. I would highly recommend it to anyone, especially if you are a fan of Breaking Bad, which you should be. It's fantastic cinema. What do you do with Better Call Saul? Is that put all under the Breaking Bad umbrella, or what do you do?
I would put that under the Breaking Bad. Like, I've seen Breaking Bad. I've actually watched it through twice. I've watched a couple episodes of Better Call Saul. I don't know why. I just didn't get into it. I didn't dislike it. I didn't like it. I just didn't get into it. I'd be willing to put The Walking Dead on this list. Now, I have not seen The Walking Dead. I don't know why. I just never have clicked play on it. But The Walking Dead seems like that kind of list. It's funny you're going to make fun of me for this, and this is one of those two Americas things. Power is one of those shows in the other America. Like, what? You don't watch? You've never seen Power before? Power is one of those shows. I'm not saying that it's close to the level of the shows that we currently have on this list. But, Rob, in an alternate America, Power is on this list.
Yeah, my America, I've never watched Power.
Know that this is a big, rich town and that you come from the poorest part.
You were the one that told me it's a 50 Cent
it
production.
Is.
I had no idea. I knew literally nothing about Power until I met you. Zero. No knowledge base. There was no information. There was never a situation in my life where someone was like, hey, man, you watching Power? That was not for me. We talked about this the other day. I imagine the same for you was no one was like, hey, man, did you catch Mad Men? What did you think of Mad Men this weekend?
No, you're right. 100%. People are saying, does Dexter deserve to go on this list? I watched one episode of Dexter, and I hit the eject button. I've never stopped watching a show as fast as I stopped watching Dexter. I watched that one episode, and I realized this ain't for me, man. This ain't for me. Sons of Anarchy is a good one.
Yeah.
Is Sons of Anarchy on this list?
Maybe. Is Succession on the list? I know you're not into it right now, but that is the hottest show on television, period.
I feel like that show just got going.
It's just finishing its fourth season.
HBO does this every 2 years. They will have a show that's hot, and everybody will make you seem like you will have need to see. I'll go back and watch Succession. I feel like it just got hot in the last 6 months. You guys were not talking about Succession 2 years ago. I mean, Succession, in theory, was on when Game of Thrones was on. You guys were not talking about Succession then. It was, you got to watch Game of Thrones. It's the best show I've ever seen. Best show I've ever seen. Best show I've ever seen. Now you got a new one?
Succession is in this vein. I'm going to go ahead and put it on the list for you.
Oh, my goodness. It's on the list?
Succession might be, it is television at its finest. It is phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. So, I also say, what do you do with True Detective?
I was just about to say, True Detective had a chance to be on this list, and they blew it. Season one of True Detective is amazing. Absolutely amazing. And then it fumbled the bag in season two. I actually don't think season three is that bad. It's just not season one of True Detective. Talk about absolutely fumbling the bag.
Speaking of fumbling the bag, you know what needs to be on this, could have been on this list, but missed it? House of Cards. House of Cards had two elite seasons of television.
I think the first like three or four are really strong.
The problem is we learned about Kevin Spacey as a person.
Kevin Spacey, he was Grandpa Mr. Nasty Man. We know that Deshaun Watson, Mr. Nasty Man. He's even more Mr. Nasty Man. Sicko.
He led the charge.
Absolute sicko. Text line 913-586-7610. CDOT, what are you talking about? Succession has been on for like 7 years. I'm telling you guys were not acting like this when Game of Thrones was on. You were not acting like this. Not at all when Game of Thrones was on. Game of Thrones, we were stopping everything we were doing to watch Game of Thrones.
That's what's going to be Sunday night. Succession's finale is Sunday night. It is going to be doing.
I feel like Succession's got hot in the last year. I don't think it was hot 3 years ago. What season is it? Season six? Season seven? What season are they on? Four? Yeah, season one of Succession was not a thing. Stop it. Let's cut the mess. You guys were not talking about that show until this season is when it started. Ozark was hotter than Succession. Ozark. Y'all was really into Ozark when it was on television. You was hotter than Succession. Let's not do this without Succession. It just got hot a couple weeks ago. Now y'all acting like it's one of the legendary HBO shows. Cut the mess. Someone said, can we talk about the NBA? Oh, we can always talk about the NBA. Adam Silver sat down with Kevin Garnett, a sentence I never thought I would say, but Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, was interviewed by Kevin Garnett, one of the greatest power forwards of all time. And Adam Silver was asked about how physical the NBA is today in comparison to the 90s. You know that you guys think that everything was better in the 90s. Here's what the commissioner of the NBA said. Listen to this.
Coming from the fan in me, which is, and maybe data comes into play here because I can look at television ratings and other measures of interest. Yep. There was a point, I believe, probably in around the late 90s when the game became too physical. And I think we lost some of
for our viewers, you mean?
Yeah, and I think for our fans, from the aesthetic enjoyment of the game, where it de-emphasized the particular skill a player had and maybe weighted too heavily physicality, where a big, strong player could come in and prevent an incredibly skilled player from doing those kinds of things. I think of, not that he's a small guy, but a smaller player like Steph Curry can do on the floor. I think that when you think of some of his ability to shoot, his ability to move through the paint, that if guys could just bang him and knock him to the ground, as that was once the case in the league, I don't think that would be a better brand of basketball.
Now, I understand that some of you are turned off by the amount of three-pointers that take place in the NBA and basketball in general. It's not just an NBA thing. It's a college basketball thing, too. I actually agree with you. I don't think that there is a lot of balance in the game at times, and it will be a two-minute stretch where neither team tried to get inside the lane. Like, basketball, to me, is at its most interesting when it's played at the rim. When there's contact, when there's physicality, when guys can get dunked on, when guys are trying to take charges, when guys are blocking shots, that's when basketball is at its most interesting. It's not at its most interesting with the amount of threes that they take. So that is a legitimate criticism of the modern NBA. But I think we also have to agree. So, Rob, I pulled up a random series. This is Lakers Pistons, the 2004 NBA Finals, almost 20 years ago. The Pistons, I think they epitomize, them and the Spurs epitomize early 2000s NBA basketball. Tough, gritty defense. You guys tell me they don't play defense in the NBA. Well, the Pistons during this time, oh, they were locking up. You had Chauncey Billups, Richard Hamilton, Rasheed Wallace, Ben Wallace. Those teams play defense. They were going up against the Lakers. Remember those Lakers? They had Shaq, Kobe, Gary Payton. That other guy, I'm not even going to mention him because he was Mr. Nasty as well. Derek Fisher, Rick Fox. You guys know who was on those Laker teams. Rob, game one was 87-75 Pistons over the Lakers. Oh, game two, we had an offensive onslaught, 99-91. How about game three? Game three of the NBA Finals, Rob, the Lakers scored 68 points. This is with Shaq, Kobe, Gary Payton. They scored 68 points in 48 minutes of NBA basketball. We can agree that maybe the NBA has gone too far in the direction of shooting threes, but something had to happen about the early 2000s. I do think the game got really physical. While I like the NBA, I actually do like the mess and the drama of the NBA. I see how that might turn some of you guys off, but you also love the NFL. Let me tell you, the NFL has the same mess and drama as the NBA does. But what I love about the NBA now is the athleticism and the skill of the players. The athleticism, the dribble moves, the footwork, it is next level. I don't know if you got to see that in the early 2000s, by the way the game was officiated and by the way that it was called. 88-68 for an NBA Finals game is something I want absolutely nothing to be a part of. I'm okay. I'm not saying the game's got to be like the All-Star game where it's 150-141. You're telling me a team that's got Shaq and Kobe scored 68 points in the game. Absolutely. We have done something wrong with the rules that we need to fix.
I've always be puzzled by fans who miss the late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah, the skill was great, but it was a race to 85. It was not good shot making. It was like a better version of college basketball. Not much shot making, a lot of hard physical fouls, all the stuff people clamor they love. But we don't talk enough about it because this is an NBA dead zone. The removal of the hand check has made the NBA significantly better.
100%.
Just light years better. No one wants to see, you know, you try to dribble through the lane and you just get pushed off your spot. No one wants to see the late 80s Pistons punch Jordan in the face for 48 minutes. You know what we want to see? Dunks, made shots, and the stars being stars. That's what we sign up for. That's what we enjoy. We don't want to see just bruiser basketball. No one liked when Butler played UConn in the final and is 53-49. Yuck. The hand check being removed from the NBA is one of the best things that happened in sports, and we don't talk nearly enough about it.
Did you see that Shams earlier today said that the NBA is considering making flopping a technical foul, and they are going to try it at the Summer League to kind of see how it works? If they could just, the flopping stuff, it just, and I love LeBron James, I really do. Sometimes LeBron will get hit in the face, and he will fall to the ground like he got shot. It's so ridiculous. It's so over the top. I'm perfectly fine with them doing more to try to de-emphasize flopping in today's game. It makes absolutely no sense. A guy will get hit. He'll fall to the ground. He makes this face. He's laying there for 5 minutes like, dog, get up. What are you doing? Tee him up, Shams. I'm with it. Competition committee. Let's get these floppers out of the game. Let's get Marcus Smart out of the game. I hate Marcus Smart. I hated him back at Oklahoma State. I hate him now with the Celtics. He's doing the same nonsense he was doing back then, just getting paid way more for it.
You beat me to the punch. I was thinking to myself, boy, Marcus Smart is going to foul out of every basketball game he plays in. It is bad. He gets bumped on coming through. Like, defensively, he gets a screen set on him, and you would have thought someone punched him in the face. It's just Marcus Smart has been doing it since he was in Lubbock and Stillwater, Oklahoma. KU fans hated him then.
Other he's probably people, doing it in Lubbock too on the road.
Probably.
He's probably doing it there too.
He's the worst, man. That's one of the reasons I'm happy the Celtics might be on the brink. I do not like watching Marcus Smart be a happy man.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll continue to read your text, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about Donovan Smith, who met with the media for the first time as a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. He is one of the keys for this season. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.